John chapter 1, and I'm hoping, of course it don't mean anything, but I'm hoping that this message will be shorter than normal. It's what I'm going to try, which don't mean nothing, does it, Corey? Look at you grinning like a possum. But sometimes I can do that, sometimes I can't. We'll just follow the Lord's direction. And we're going to title our message today kind of a little bit different kind of message. I've never preached on it. I've heard it preached on. I've heard people speak of it. And we're going to title the message today, Bringing One to Jesus. Bringing One to Jesus. That's what we're going to look at. Now, one of the most famous men, one of the most famous disciples in the Bible is Simon Peter. Everybody knows is Simon Peter. But his brother's name is Andrew. Andrew's not as, you know, he doesn't get the ink that Peter gets, but Andrew was also a godly man. There's three occasions in the book of in the Gospel of John where he's mentioned. And on these three different occasions, what do you find him doing? Every time it mentions Andrew, you know what he's doing? He's bringing somebody to Jesus. That's what he's doing. You see it in John 1. You see it in John 6. We're going to look at all these. You see it in John chapter 12. And it records Andrew. And that's what he does. He's bringing someone to Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you're born again, that's one of the things that you should constantly be praying for, and it should be one of the forefront things in your mind, is we want to seek, we that know Jesus, we that know Him as Savior and have trusted Him as Savior, what we want to do is to bring other people to Him. All God's people say it. I think there's nothing any really after you're born again. I don't think there's anything more important than that. I think sometimes we get distracted off on other things, and oftentimes we lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. And that's a horrible thing to do. We got the salvation message that we carry with us everywhere we go. And as we come into contact with people, we seek to share that message with other people also. So let's go ahead and go to the Gospel of John chapter 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on verses 35 through verse 42. John chapter 1, verses 35 through verse 42. And watch Andrew bringing someone to Jesus. It says in verse 35, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples." Now it mentions two of whose disciples? John's. Now the John mentioned in verse 35 is John the Baptist. Also called John, if you interpret that, it's John the Immerser. You know why he called him an immerser, don't you? Because when he baptized you, he dipped you. He completely immersed. That's the proper mode of baptism. That's how it's supposed to be done. So he had two of his disciples there. And who these two disciples was, they were Andrew and they were John. Andrew, of course, Simon Peter's brother, and then John, the one that wrote the Gospel of John, is the other one. It doesn't name John in the text, but when you read the Gospel of John, John never names himself. He usually says, when he's talking about himself, hear this, one whom Jesus loved. Oh, God's people said. He doesn't say John was here or John was there or John. He would always, when he would talk about himself in the Gospel of John, that's the terminology he used about himself. He didn't say John. He said one whom Jesus loved. Oh, God's people said. I hope you feel that here today in your heart, and I hope you never lose track. You that are here today and saved, you should thank God every day of your life that you are one whom Jesus loved. Now, I can't explain to you the reason why He loved me, and you probably can't explain the reason why He loved you, but He did. And you know what? His love for you never had no... His love for you goes back before the world ever began. You can't go back to a beginning point. Now, I can't explain it to you. He loved you before He ever said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's loved you that long. He's known you by name all that time. And then, when the time came, He called you by His grace. And He opened your blinded eyes and your blinded heart, and He drawed you to Himself. Well, this is Andrew and John. This is the two disciples here. They were going to become disciples of Jesus, but at this time, they are disciples of John the Baptist. Okay? All right, verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get for... Oh, my. I almost missed verse 36. Dewey, don't let me forget verse 36. Verse 36 says, and looking upon Jesus... This is John the Baptist's statement. And looking upon Jesus, this is John the Baptist, he said, as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Behold the what again? The Lamb of God. You know, that's John the Baptist talking about him. That's saying a great deal, isn't it? Let me tell you why it's saying a great deal. Because in Israel, if you went to the temple and you went there in the morning, they offered a lamb every morning, and then you go to the evening, 3 o'clock, they offered a lamb of the evening. They offered a lamb every day in Israel, in the morning and in the evening, in the morning and in the evening. So when you call Jesus a lamb, what does that mean? That means that He's going to be sacrificed. That means He's going to be sacrificed. You go back in the Old Testament, you see whenever you remember when the destroyer passed, when God sent all the plagues upon the Egyptians, and the last plague was when he was going to kill all the firstborn. Remember what they had to do? They had to take a lamb and they shed its blood and they put it over the top of the door and down both sides. And it says the Bible says at midnight the destroyer went through the land. And here's what the Bible says. When he saw the blood, what did he do, beloved? He passed over. Amen. He passed over them. Another picture of Jesus. Now here you have John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God. Why did he call Jesus the Lamb? Because he would be a substitute for our sins. All God's people say it. If you don't have a substitute, how can a... No, I just will say it. If you don't have a substitute for your sin, you'll die in your sin. You'll die in your sin. I got a substitute. Do you got a substitute? Are you thinking about trusting Jesus as your substitute? You need to have a sense of urgency on this thing because once you die, that's over. You don't get saved after you die.
That's right.
The Bible says, whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. So are you living? Eternally too late. Eternally too late after you're dead. I've done funeral service before, and the first thing I ask somebody when I do one, I say, oh, were they what? Well, were they saved? Were they saved? Did they know Jesus? And I say, well, hear me, watch this. Well, I know they went to church every now and again. They are awful good neighbor. They tell you all these different things. And I finally just looked at them and said, did they trust Jesus?
Amen.
Did they trust Jesus? Did they ask the Lord Jesus to save their soul? Did they ever do that you know of? Do you know whether or not they ever trusted Jesus? And then can you see a pattern in their life of them serving Jesus? Was there anything there? Well, no. Man, you need to know you're saved. Not think, wish, or hope, or wait on it. If you're here today and lost, you need to get saved today. And not put that thing off. Well, this was the occasion here in this text. That verse 37 said, the two disciples heard them speak, and they followed Jesus. When John said, behold, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sin of the Lord, sin of the world. What did they do? They took off following Him. That's what I did. They took off following Him. This is Andrew and John in the text. And Jesus turned and saw them following. He said, what seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted teacher or master, where do you dwell? And He saith unto them, come and see. They said, Lord, where are you abiding at? We want to go with you. Where are you going? They wanted to learn more about this man. And Jesus said, what again? You come and see. They come and they spend some time with Jesus. Verse 39, and they came and saw where He dwelt, and He abode with them until the 10th hour. I think that's 4 o'clock of the evening. He spent some time with the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 40. And one of the two, here we're coming to Andrew, one of the two which heard Him speak followed Him, and he was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Y'all haven't heard much about Andrew, but he's introduced. He's one of the first to become an apostle. Simon's brother. This is Andrew. You ever heard a sermon on Andrew? Probably not. Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother. So once he met the Messiah here this day, then he went out looking for his brother who? Brother Simon Peter. He did. And watch what happened. He finds his own brother and he said unto him, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted is the Christ. Now look at verse 42. This is what Andrew is known for. "And he brought him to Jesus." All God's people said. That's what he did. He didn't know a lot about things at the time. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He knew and the first thing he did when he found out the Messiah was here, the first thing he did, he went and got his brother. He went and got his brother. He said the Messiah was here. What did he say to do? He brought him. He brought him to Jesus. That's what he did. Can I ask you a question? We realize Jesus does the saving. Who brought you to Jesus? I mean, did you come to Jesus on your own? I doubt that. You heard the message from somebody. Or somebody shared with you the message of Jesus. Jesus seemed fit that you heard the message of Him. Saints of God here today, have you ever brought anybody to Jesus? Have you ever brought anybody to Him? Is that a focus of your mind, bringing somebody to Him? That should be on your mind. You should have a desire to bring somebody to Jesus. Different ways that you can do that. If you think about it, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But here you see the first illustration of this man of God, Andrew. He goes finds his brother. Who's he bringing to? He brings him to Jesus. My question to you is, have you ever brought anybody to Jesus? Is that something that you pray for? Is that something that you seek to do? Is that a part of your life? I hope it is. Because what I'm finding, bringing somebody to Jesus is many times the last thing that's on God's people's mind. Their mind is on a lot of other things other than bringing somebody to Jesus. I mean, a church, that should be the focus. That's the reason why we have Bring a Friend services, is to give you the opportunity to bring someone with you. In a sense, that's what you're doing. You're seeking to bring him to Jesus. Now let's go to John 6. Go to John 6. I'm going to get these three chapters or three texts, and then we'll move on. John chapter 6. Here in John 6, Jesus is a popular preacher, so multitudes of people followed him when he speak. Some people said about Jesus, "No man." They sent Roman soldiers to arrest him on an occasion. Remember that? They sent him to arrest Jesus. And they just come back. Here they come back. They're just goofy, I guess, they thought. Here they just come back from, and they never arrested him. They said, "Well, where's he at?" They said, "Nobody spake like that man." Just got spellbound, I guess, listening to him teach. And it just overwhelmed him. They left him there. They never even brought him. Now, verse chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. Watch what it says here. "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. They saw his miracles that he did on them that which were diseased. And Jesus went to a mountain, and he sat with the disciples. The Passover was near. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. And he addresses Philip. He said, 'When shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" I mean, it's 5,000 men. It doesn't record women. And we always said feeding of the 5,000. Actually, way more than that. So here's thousands of people. Thousands of people. And they said, "Where are we going to buy bread at?" He just wanted them to think about it a little. Sometimes the Lord will put you in a situation that looks impossible. And then He'll bring you out of it. That's what He's doing here. And in the situation, here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. And that's what He does here in this text, verse 6. "And He said to prove them," He knew Himself what He was going to do. "And Philip answered and said, 200 penny, where He done what I'd done?" Philip did what I'd have done. I'd have figured out how much it cost to buy enough bread so everybody could have a little bit. That's what I'd have did. Right there's me. That's Jeff's response. I went, 200 penny worth is not enough that everybody can have a little bit of bread. That's how I'd have done it. That's me. Me and Philip goes together here. "One of his disciples," here we're introduced to Andrew the second time. "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, 'There's a lad here. There's a lad here which hath five barley loaves, two small fish, but what are they amongst so many? Well, what was Philip doing? What's he doing here in our text? What's Andrew doing again in our text? Who brought that lad that had the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish? Who brought that lad to Jesus? Who was it again? It's Andrew. That's what Andrew does. That's just what Andrew does. He's always, when you see him in Scripture, he's bringing someone to Jesus. Isn't that a glorious thing? Andrew was the one that brought him. Look what great miracle Jesus did. He took those 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and fed thousands. Just kept breaking it. Who brought that boy there? Well, Andrew did. Andrew brought him. He's the one that brought him there. And God blessed that 5 barley loaves and 2 small. It couldn't be 2 big fish. It had to be 2 small fish. The Lord just kept breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. Fed all those people. Thank God that little boy was willing to sit. He was willing to share his lunch with me. Andrew found him, and Andrew's the one that brought him there. Oh, gosh, people said. He's the one that brought him there. So that's occasion number 2, brought him to Jesus. Now let's go to John 12. Let's get the next example of it. See, I'm moving good. John chapter 12. Now in John 12, the timeline of this, when you look at 12 in verse 1, this is right before Jesus, this is 6 days before He gets crucified. If you know the timeline, if you want to know the timeline here, that's the timeline. 12:1 says 6 days before the Passover. See, Jesus was crucified at Passover. And all those Passovers they did where they shed the lamb's blood and put it over the door back in the book of Exodus, that picture of Jesus who would shed His blood for us. Isn't that a glorious thing? Well, watch here again. Here's Passover time. In verse 12, Jesus enters Jerusalem. It's a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey and they're stringing palm branches in front of Him like a king. And maybe a not long from this, they crucified Him. Not long from this, they crucified Him. But look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, there were certain Greeks. These are Gentiles. These are not Jews. That's why it says they're Greeks. We would call these people Gentile people. And there were among them that came to worship at the feast. That's Passover. They might have been Jewish proselytes, you'd call them, converted to the Jewish religion. They come there to observe the Passover. The same came therefore to Philip. Come who to? Came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and he desired, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Who would you go? If you would live back here, Rick, if you live back here, and someone wanted to see Jesus, who would you go get? I'd go get Andrew. Because anytime you see him, what's he doing? He's bringing somebody to Jesus. Look at verse 22. And Philip came and he went to Andrew. He didn't go straight to Jesus. He went and got Andrew. Andrew was always going to Jesus. He come and he told Andrew, and again, Andrew and Philip went and tell Jesus. Oh, God's people say it. So every time you see this brother of Simon Peter, every time you see him, what's he doing again, beloved? You won't forget this message. That's why I made it short. Because it was short, I guess you'll remember. No. What's he always doing, beloved? He's always bringing someone to Jesus. That's what he's doing every time you see him. Can I ask you a question? Can you do that? Yeah, you can do that. You can bring somebody to Jesus sometime just by bringing somebody to what? Just by bringing somebody to church. Or just by giving them a tract to read. Or just by inviting them to listen to a radio broadcast. I think we need to be more concerned about bringing someone to Jesus. And I think that starts with a prayer. Y'all agree? I think it starts with praying. Say, Lord, I want to. Who would you like in your family? Just don't answer. But who would you like in your family for you to see come to Jesus? Think about it for a little bit. Who would you like to see come to Jesus? Now, if you'd like to see them come to Jesus, you should seek to bring them to Jesus, first of all. But you should also pray for a door of utterance to share Jesus with them. I encourage you to do that. You can invite them to come. We have bringing friends all the time. And that's a purpose of bringing people in so that they can hear the message and be saved. You know, I thought this funny, and I mentioned this a whole lot. But in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, y'all remember it? The woman at the well. This woman had had five husbands and was living with a man. I mean, you talk about a corrupt life, the woman at the well had it. She's sitting there. She came at midday, the worst time in the world to get water. Usually come when it's cool, which was an indicator she was probably an outcast amongst outcasts. Nobody wanted to be associated with her. Jesus sent all the boys. He sent all the boys in the city to get food, and He sat on that well, and He waited on that woman to come. Long story short, finally she realized, she said, "We have heard that the Messiah was coming. Jesus, look at this woman." She said, "I that speak to you am He." Do y'all remember what she did once she realized Jesus was the Messiah? She ran into that city. And she was excited, I guess. Now she knew who He was. She ran into that city and she said, "Come and see the man which told me everything which ever I did. Is not this the Messiah?" All God's people said. You know what the Bible says about that town? That whole town came out to see Jesus then. You know who else was in that town? Disciples was there. They went in to get food. They were Baptists. Their thought was on going in that town and getting them dinner. That's what they went in. Read about it. They went in to get food. They didn't go in and go, "Come and see the man." I've been doing the same thing. I get hungry. I get hateful, don't you? It's time to go in and eat. But that woman invited them all out. And the Bible says the whole city come out. She brought the whole crowd to Jesus. I'm going to close with saying, God's people here today, where's your man? Where's your woman? Where's your teenager? Where's your boy? Where's your girl? Where's your people? What I'm trying to say, we need to be praying about bringing people to Jesus. And we need to put forth efforts to bring people to Jesus. All God's people said,